All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 56 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are going to look at the Greco-Persian War once again, but today is the conclusion of that chapter of history, and I kind of have a subtitle for today's class, which is the ominous subtitle, The Enemy of My Enemy. And we talk a lot about this in History at Our House year after year after year. If you ever see me start that phrase, you know we're getting to something that is not pleasant. Because nothing good comes from this phrase, sadly. Except understanding it and not falling for it. That's the only good that comes of it. Studying history and learning never to agree with somebody. To always watch out for anybody that uses this phrase. Especially when they use it the wrong way. And they end it, is my friend. It's a lie. So we've got to really understand that by using history. Okay, so we saw that the Greeks were starting to succeed last time. Okay, last time. Henry says, really? He hasn't been with History at Our House long enough to know that it's a terrible, terrible phrase. But I'll show you one of the examples today, Henry, as to why we... at History at Our House know that that phrase is not true. So, anyway, we saw two victories last time. The turning point combined, really, the turning points of the war combined. One, the victory at Salamis. Zeus granted to Athena a wooden wall. The only place not to be sacked. It would destroy the sons of women. Which women? Persian women this time around. Okay, the victory was going to go to the Greeks. And then when Xerxes fled, because he was really chicken, as all emperors are, he ran away. And then the Greeks defeated his brother-in-law Mardonius at Plataea. And then the Persians were on the run. And so we got to this idea last time that, well, now there were choices. The Greeks had the advantage, finally, in this conflict. What were they going to do? If you defeat your enemy and they are on the run, what do? You really have two main choices. You're looking at your enemy running away. What do? What are your two choices at that point? Patrick, what's one of your choices? Or both if you want.
I'll say both.
Okay.
Both of the first choice is to just feel like, okay, so my enemy's gone, so we can just go back to living and stuff.
Okay.
Or we can go back and defeat them once and for all.
Yeah, right. If somebody is running, your great enemy is running away from you, your choice is to let them run. Or to hunt them down, right? I mean, you're watching them run away, and you can say, okay, thank goodness they're going. Goodbye, good riddance, and leave us alone, please. Well, or you can say, I don't believe you're ever going to leave me alone, so I'm going to get you now. I'm going to go and hunt you down and destroy you and stop you for good. So, yeah, those are two choices that many, many countries have faced throughout their history when they overcome their enemy. They have to decide what to do. And, well, it's interesting to study history is to see that there tends to be one choice that's better than the other. But it is a complicated, it's definitely a complicated idea to pursue. And the best way to do it is to study history for a long time and then to collect all the examples together rather than talk about just one. So anyway, that's part of what we're up to here and why it's very important to study history not just in lower elementary or just in upper elementary, but to come back and study it again in junior high when you have a more mature mind and you're ready to think about it again, and then again in high school, at the very least, repeatedly, over and over again. And then the smarter you get, the more knowledgeable you get, the more mature you are, the better you understand this subject. And it continues to compound, as we say. You build on top of what you're building, on top of what you're building, and it becomes a powerful body of knowledge as long as you come back and do it again and again. And so here we are looking at an example of one of these things that happens in history where one side is going to defeat the other, and then they have these difficult choices. And like I said, that repeats over and over again. And it's fascinating to see what happens in the different cases where people make different choices, because they have throughout history made the different choice. The Athenian choice was the aggressive choice. Well, we can't really call it the aggressive choice because they were the ones who were attacked in the first place. Or the Persians might argue that, right? They might say, actually, it was the Athenians that started it. If they hadn't attacked Sardis, we wouldn't have done anything, which is probably a lie because they were helping the Ionian colonies anyway. So the Persians were probably going to invade Greece at some point. So anyway, it doesn't really matter. Right now, we're at the end of a war in which the Persians are running away. And the Athenians say, all right, we are going to go get them. We are going to punish them for what they have done. So we saw this map last time, and it shows in green the team that Athens put together. So it was called the Delian League. So they, and a league, what is a league? What would be a synonym for the word league? Like the Justice League. You guys know that one. Okay. What about the Delian League? It's a league. No synonyms? All right. I would say the best synonym is alliance. Or maybe team. Okay, but it's an alliance. A league of nations is an alliance of nations, a group that works together. So that's what this was. Different city-states. Athens is the only one marked on here, but if we go back to the other map, we could see all the other ones working together. What? To do what? To attack the Persians and punish them for the war and really send them packing. Okay? And that's what it was at first. It was a league. All right. And what they did, and it was called the Delian League, like I said, because there was an island here, pretty much here, called Delos, where the league had what's called its treasury. There's an interesting word. Can you notice that there's kind of a root word? What is a treasury, do you think? If this is how it's spelled, can you guess what it means? What does it have to do with, do you think? Henry?
It's where they keep all their treasure.
Exactly. Perfect. That's what a treasury is. It's what it's supposed to be. Nowadays, it doesn't work that way anymore. But anyway, a treasury is where you're supposed to keep the treasure. Exactly. The treasure of the alliance. So what does that mean? It means that the people are working together, and together they have a set of treasure, and they put it in the same place. It's the treasury of the alliance. And the reason why they kept the treasure there was because the alliance worked like this. The alliance had options in it, the way that you participated in the Delian League. You kind of had two basic choices. One choice was, you could contribute troops. You could contribute troops and ships. Okay? That's direct participation. Right? What you're doing is you're giving your men, you're giving supplies, and you are fighting. Then the other kind of participation was indirect, where you didn't give men and ships. What did you give instead? What would that look like? Indirect participation in an alliance. You're not giving men, and you're not giving ships. What are you giving? If you're a part of the alliance. Sigourney?
Money, maybe?
Yeah, money for what, Sigourney?
Expensive things.
Yeah, okay, good answer. That's a good general answer. I like that. You're not too sure, but you gave me a good answer. I like it, Sigourney. Right, yeah, expensive things. In other words, men and ships, right? Because men and ships are what you need, literally. And then the expensive things you're talking about, Sigourney, are, well, the wood and the labor to build the ships, paying the soldiers, paying men to build the armor. What else, Patrick?
Getting food.
Food, all the supplies that an army needs. Exactly right. Okay, so there were two sets of allies here. Some that were participating directly, and some that were participating indirectly. Henry, what's on your mind?
I was just going to say, because you were talking about it, also transport, such as horses.
Okay, right. Any kind of supplies that would help. Okay, good. Right, so those were the ones who are indirectly participating. Well, and so this is a league, it's an alliance, and that means that the various people are participating in it voluntarily. So if you are volunteering to participate in something, you should be able to volunteer not to participate. Wouldn't that make sense? If it's an alliance, right? Agree or disagree? If you volunteer in something, you should be able to say, okay, I'm done and I'm not volunteering anymore. Is that true? Opal agrees. Okay, right? Do you agree, Patrick?
I guess.
Well, okay, let's be very clear on this, right? If you agree to walk along the highway and pick up garbage as a volunteer, because some people do that, keep the roads clean or whatever, keep the highways clean, right? And you're volunteering. And then you say, well, I'm tired of this and I'm going to go get a job. Okay, then they will say, well, thank you for picking up some of this garbage. Goodbye, right? Okay, that's volunteering, right? Okay. But if you're a prisoner and they take you out of the prison and you have to clean up the garbage every day and go back to prison, can you say to the warden of the prison, I don't feel like picking up the garbage today. I'm not going to volunteer anymore. Why do I have you stumped on that? Could you say that? Are you a volunteer at that point, Patrick? Go ahead.
No.
All right, you're shaking your head no. All right, I guess I think you get it there. Hopefully you get it, right? Well, to be voluntary participation means you can choose to participate and you can choose not to participate. So is that what the Delian League was? Well, the first city-state to test this question was called Naxos. So let's go find Naxos on the map. There are so many Greek city-states, and usually we don't spend a lot of time looking at all of the various ones. Naxos is an island. Can you spot it on here? I'm going to go ahead and zoom further and further, and Naxos is this blue island here. See it? Okay, part of the Cyclades, I think, is the American English way of saying it. Okay, these islands here, they're very nice islands. So Naxos said, no thanks, we're going to pull out now. We are not really interested in participating in this voluntary alliance. Okay. And Athens said, no thanks. You can't leave. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Whoa, this is supposed to be an alliance. Allies can join and they can leave, right? They're voluntary. When Athens said to Naxos, you can't leave. Now, is that an alliance now? Is that a bargain that two countries are making? Two city-states that are countries, right? Is that a bargain that they're making? No, it's one country telling another country what to do. Now, Naxos said, well, we are leaving. And, you know, this is like a child's argument. I'm leaving. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And what happens when two kids have that kind of discussion? When it's at that level of quality, right? What happens pretty soon? You guys are too sophisticated and too civilized to have ever had that kind of discussion with your siblings. I'm sure, Henry, you and Wyatt have never had one of those discussions. What happens, Henry?
Pretty soon, a fight happens. Maybe you're wrong about that never happened.
Maybe, huh? I see. So it's not just theory for you. You actually have some experience. I see. I thought you might. Right, okay, so Henry, I'm guessing, is going to be Naxos, and Wyatt is going to be Athens, and this is not going to be very pleasant, because Athens says to Naxos, no, you can't leave, and Naxos says, oh, yeah, and then Athens says, yeah, and what do you think they meant by that? Here comes the Athenian fleet. Okay, Naxos, you now are in the alliance, and it's not up to you. Uh-oh. That doesn't feel like an alliance anymore. Now, that was not happy news to the rest of the team, right? The rest of this team in green over here, they're all on the team because they're thinking, oh, we're all friends and we're all working together, right? But now Athens has become a bully and goes and beats up Naxos and says, you can't leave the team. So some other city-state says, well, we're leaving. We are not going to be on a team where one of the team members is a bully towards all the others. What did Athens say? Uh-uh. You're not leaving. And they went to any city-state that tried to withdraw from the alliance, and they used their powerful navy to punish that city-state and force them to stay in. Now, this was possible in part because some countries participated indirectly, and some countries participated directly. Did you catch the difference between those? Remember, if you were participating in the alliance indirectly, what were you giving again? You didn't want to give money. Oh, you didn't want to give men and ships. So what did you give, Opal? Go ahead, Opal. Maybe your mic's not on. Try again. Oh, got have one of those microphone issues. Okay, keep trying. Sigourney, what did you give?
Money.
Money. Okay, right. So, did that mean that you had a bigger navy when you were done? Actually, that's kind of interesting. Who had the bigger navy when they were done? The money went from one country to the countries that were willing to participate directly. Mainly Athens. So what was happening? This team was really a bunch of smaller team members with one really big superstar, Athens. And that superstar was now turning into a bully, and the other guys found out really quickly, well, wait a minute, this arrangement was really not a smart arrangement. We should not have participated indirectly, because we made Athens strong, and we ourselves have now become weak compared to Athens, and we can't stop them. So the Delian League became, sadly, the Athenian Empire. Oh, no. We just spent all of our time fighting an empire. And now we have one of the city-states of Greece. It's no longer an ally of the other city-states in green. It is now an empire. The Delian League has become the Athenian Empire. So now we've got this map. Shows us on here, shows us the ones in green eventually were part of the Athenian Empire. The ones in pink, were the ones that were part pretty much of Sparta's empire, though. Because remember that Sparta didn't make friends. The Spartans helped other aristocracies to conquer their slaves and their subject peoples, and they basically conquered their neighbors or helped the aristocracies to control their own people, so they were not nice. So the pink allies, they're not really... This map, in a way, is a little bit false. At least, it's one stage of the story. Sparta and its allies really means the Spartan Empire. Athens and its allies really, in the end, also means the Athenian Empire. So now, great! We just had the Persians come along. They want to conquer everybody in their empire. And the Greeks end up having two empires of their own. They're small compared to anything that we've seen in the story so far. But now we have the problem that we were worried about before. Some Greek cities attacking other Greek cities. Well, it has it's come to pass, very sadly. Because the Athenians were so aggressive about punishing Persia that they couldn't let go. They couldn't be generous with their fellow Greeks. They insisted upon continuing the war. I can't tell you if they were right or if they were wrong. It would be completely unfair of me to say the Athenians should not have done that. We can't know. We have nowhere near enough information to make that judgment. But we can say that what they did was make enemies of other Greeks. And that's sad, right? I mean, these were special people, and it's sad that now we can see that they're starting to split apart and they are not going to be friends. And some of the cities in green turned to Sparta and they said, "Can you help us?" And this is a sign of where things are going. The enemy of my enemy, Sparta and Athens. Are they friends because they're fighting the Persians? That's the question, right? And now Athens is making enemies of its fellow, supposedly, allies, and they are calling on Sparta. And Sparta, well, for now, Sparta... At least at first, Sparta refused. At least Sparta refused at first because the Spartans were being bullies of their own. So the Athenians were being bullies and the Spartans were being bullies too. Their team, the pink team, didn't like Sparta as much as the green team didn't like Athens. So these were two very strange teams. They weren't really alliances. They were two big bullies being mean to the people on their own team. And so Sparta was stuck in a new war against its own supposedly allies, too busy to attack Athens. So Greek history was taking a really sad turn here. The Persians were pretty much gone, and soon enough, the whole Persian War was going to be a memory. There was some kind of peace treaty, and they just stopped fighting each other at that point. There was going to be some more fighting later, but basically the Greco-Persian War was over. And instead, we're seeing Athens being a bully and Sparta being a bully in two separate ways. The Athenians being bullies to their allies, supposedly, and Sparta being bullies to their allies. So, well, all right. It's certainly not a happy story, but so far Athens and Sparta are not enemies. They're just minding their own business. At what point does that not work anymore? Well, if we look on the map here, this pink stuff is pretty close to Athens, isn't it? Here we have the Peloponnese. That was always kind of Sparta's territory. The Athenians didn't bother them over there. Okay, do what you want over here. But this area up here in pink now belonged to Sparta. If we look at on the main map where it is and what it's called, you can see it labeled on here called Boeotia. I think this is misspelled, actually. It's hard even for modern people to make the names correctly. I think it's B-O-E. But anyway, Boeotia. And there was a city called Thebes. Does that sound kind of funny? Thebes?
Anybody remember? Another Thebes? I'm not quite sure how that... That's a strange coincidence, isn't it? Does anybody remember Another Thebes? Henry, perhaps?
The Thebes in Egypt.
Nicely done. Yes, indeed. The capital of Egypt was Thebes. So isn't that weird that there was a Thebes in Greece as well? I don't know how that works. It might just be that two cities had similar names, and in English we say Thebes for both of them. Maybe they actually were different. I don't know. But it is kind of a neat coincidence. And now, this Thebes that's labeled on here was inside of the Spartan alliance, or forced to be, but the people there wanted to have a democracy. Now we're going to see. The enemy of my enemy. How do you make friends with somebody? I've said this before. I put it in different language here, but everybody here needs to be comfortable with this, okay? What are friendships based on? Think about your best friends. Why are you friends? And even friends that are not necessarily your best friends, but you like them. Why? What makes friendship? What breaks it? And why are you not friends with some other people? Really important to be able to say this, to explain this to yourself, if you're going to be picking good friends in life. Right? How do you do it? How do you pick friends? All right, I'll put it into words for you guys, and you guys got to really work on this in your young lives. Friendship is based on values. That's a big... Whoa, what does that mean, Mr. Powell? That means the things that you like in common. You're friends with somebody else because you like the same things. You enjoy doing them together, sharing in those activities, sharing your values together because they are the same. If you had a friend, or let's say an acquaintance, and you really like to play baseball, and that's your main activity, and that friend hates baseball, or that person hates baseball, not only do they don't play it, but they hate it, and they're always talking about how they hate baseball. Well, are you guys going to be friends? You can't be, right? I mean, because that person doesn't like the thing that you love. Opal says maybe. Wow, that's interesting, Opal. How could you possibly be friends? Go ahead. Oh, your microphone. I'd love to hear your explanation, but for some reason you are audio impaired today. All right, well, hopefully you can fix your microphone and explain that to me tomorrow, because I would like to hear your counter argument if you have that belief that you could be. Now, you might be, I suppose, if I'm going to put words in your mouth, Opal, you might be as long as you have other things that you really enjoy. Aha, you're typing it in. Right, as long as you have other things that you really enjoy together. So that's a good answer, Opal. Well said. Right. Okay, so, and then, of course, you got to kind of leave the whole baseball thing behind you, right? Because if you spend all your time talking about that, then your friendship will die, because that big disagreement, that thing that you don't have in common, will just be too important to you, and it won't work. But if you can leave it aside, enjoy other things together, then you can be friends. Okay, so, but... Now, Thebes wanted a democracy. The Athenians, well, were really excited to support them. And one of there was a new leader in Athens who wanted to help Thebes. His name was Pericles. And this character is going to be very important to our story. So I'm introducing you to him today. You might even have heard of him before, because he's even more famous than Cleisthenes. If we talk about the most famous Athenian leader of all time, it's probably Pericles. He just seems to have a reputation. And I'll tell you why more in the next couple classes here, and even next week.
a very famous leader of Athens, and he wanted to help Thebes have a democracy. So that meant he wanted to lead Athens to war with Sparta. Could Athens and Sparta be friends now that they did not have a common enemy? Well, the Athenians had sent a small army to help the Spartans in their own struggle. So the Athenians were arguing about what to do, and they decided, hey, let's see if we can get along with Sparta. Pericles had disagreed with this, but they had sent a small army to Sparta to help the Spartans in their own war. And the Spartans had refused the help. So the Athenians were insulted. And Pericles was able to say to all the Athenians, see, we tried to make friends with Sparta, and they don't trust us. And you know what? We don't trust them either. We were trying to be nice, but we really don't like Sparta. And see, we sent some help, and they said, no, we don't want your help. And so we really should come to face this facts. You know, people say that, right? We got to face facts. We believe in democracy. Sparta believes in conquering others and preventing democracy. Could we possibly be friends? So in order to help Boeotia, Pericles led an Athenian army against Sparta for the first time. They were enemies. It was called the Battle of Tanagra in 457, there we go. I wouldn't call it an anchor fact of history. It's kind of like a supporting anchor fact, maybe. It's that first moment after the big struggles against Persia where Athens and Sparta started to fight each other. Now they decided, okay, wait a minute. Oh, this is bad news. If we do this, we're going to be in real trouble. Let's not go to war. So they decided that, okay, let's be really careful here, because if we commit to fighting each other, then Persia might come right back and conquer us. So they said, let's have peace for a while. And they signed what was called the 15 years peace. That was how long it was supposed to last. It was supposed to be kind of like a guarantee. Was it going to last 15 years? I'll tell you tomorrow. But unfortunately, we can see that these former allies are not such great friends. Yes, Patrick?
I'm pretty sure that it won't last 15 years.
Yeah, pretty sure it won't. Good prediction. Okay, good. Battle of Tanagra, 457 BC. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, we'll pick things up tomorrow. Luckily, there will be some peace.
Uh-huh.
And this is going to be really crucial. It's going to help Athens to have at least some year and year after year of peace is good, and for some wonderful things to happen. So we are going to finally talk about this period called the Athenian Golden Age, the greatest part of Athenian history. And it starts pretty much between the two wars. And it's lovely and it's wonderful. It's great that that happened. There at least was a time when there was between the two wars. Oh, what two wars? Well, the one that's coming, of course, we haven't said what it's called, but at least the one between after the Greco-Persian War and the new one that's going to come, sadly. Henry, last thoughts for today?
Pericles' name sounds a lot like Pear.
Okay. Whatever helps you. Patrick?
Pericles' name reminds me of Persia and a little bit of Pisistratus.
Okay. What about Pheidippides? They all start with P.
Maybe famous that
Greeks,
too.
Famous Greeks for P, starting with P, Alex. Okay. Are they going to continue going after the Persians? No. They're going to let it go because now they have, you know, this other problem.
right? They're being bullies against the other Greeks. They're getting distracted, and that's the priority. And Persia had become much less threatening. Okay. All right, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.